It is in this regard that we have the two chairs, myself, Honorable Maneli from Communications, and Honorable Zulane next to me from Sports, Creation, Arts and Culture. So we'll co-chair this meeting. In that score, having said that, you will be aware, Honorable Members, that we have an agenda before us, and that agenda relates to the sporting rights, the briefing that we get on the review of sport broadcasting services regulations by CASA. We will take a presentation from CASA. I want to state this right in the beginning, that indeed it's the first briefing that we have, and so that it's important to have the briefing as the joint committee, because the matters affect the committee. So it's the first time we get the brief, so that we can engage with the process going forward. I will therefore, without a waste of time, as I declare the meeting officially open, that it's also important to note apologies. I will check with the chair of the strike committee, but on the side of the communication, we do have an apologies from Honorable Machozi due to party commitments. We also have Honorable Madisha's apology, who's also attending another committee meeting. We also have some apologies from the department, in particular the acting DG, the communication party. But, and this is funding certainly another committee too. Honorable Kubeka also started in another meeting. She may join us later from the side of communication. But I just wanted for official sake before we proceed, on the chair of Frank, if there are apologies.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The first one is for Honorable Baldick. The two other apologies is from Minister and Deputy Minister of Sports and Recreation, of Sports, Arts and Recreation. Sports, Arts and Culture. I was following the wrong pronunciation by my co-chair now. So those two ministers are having apologies. I felt that they are sick. Something that is not the clear, which is out. That's the only three apologies that I'm having. And thank you.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair, for correcting. Maybe Corona was trying to come in, but it's clarified. I also want to acknowledge that from the side of the communications, we have both the Minister and Deputy Minister, President Minister Ndabeni Abrahams and Deputy Minister Chikanet, yes. And so the acting DG Sports is also here, so we will acknowledge that. We will, without waste of time, Honorable Members and guests, allow the Minister in the absence of the other Minister, I take it that they would have also had a discussion there with the item that we are dealing with. We usually give an opportunity to Minister as some of these entities also work with them, just to an overview and thereafter give to the Council.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all Honorable Members and colleagues from the Department and the two departments and the sector. Honorable Chairperson, you're correct to say, as the two ministers, we have engaged with ICASA and our departments simply because not that we want to influence the process, but because we are shareholders, and the shareholders, therefore, we represent the public interest that have to find expression in the legislation and the regulations that ICASA is about. As we did that, Honorable Chair, we then agreed to establish teams that must look into the matters that are cross-cutting and those that will require both legislative and policy interventions from our side. Recently, Honorable Members, we have seen, especially 2019, where it was dominant in the public space, the issue of the public raising concerns over how we broadcast from SABC side, because that's the only time people get to know that there are challenges in the sporting fraternity or in how we govern sports and therefore the broadcasting that goes with it. When they can't be able to watch their matches on the screen, then they begin to say SABC is failing, minister must come and do this and that, without looking into the law and the processes that need to be followed. ICASA had embarked, therefore, in a process to review the regulations, of course, starting from 2010 to say, by 2018, what is it that we need to do? Of course, that takes into consideration, Chairperson, the shift in what then used to be priority sports or developmental sports, to say, how do we then make sure that we accommodate and regulate in a manner that favors the public interest without compromising that ICASA needs to do in terms of regulating the entire industry, but at the center of it is the issue of public interest that ICASA has always have to be biased to at all times. Of course, as I'm talking about shifts and the different sporting codes, Chairpersons, the other issue is the developments in the technological space. I was saying, Chairperson, when people went towards the Golisi leading and South Africans taking pride in the great work that has been done by Amabogobogo, but have we ever sat down and thought that in the next 10 years, who will be the people that are leading or coaching that Amabogobogo? Would we have spectators going on stadia, or are we going to have people watching it through the virtual reality, even the players themselves, as we also advance online sports or the esports? So we have to balance this so that as the regulator and the policymaker at all times, we try to find each other and make sure that we're not left behind in the technological advancements and only get to penalize those that have traditional platforms. In this quest, Honorable Chairs, then the departments have taken it upon itself to say we've got to introduce the audiovisual legislation in order to look into the developments of the OTTs. So the work that has been done by ICASA currently does not talk to that. It doesn't talk to the digital platforms that are provided in order to watch the sports and all that. They're focusing on what the then law passed. So as we work towards that from the departmental side, we are again going to come back to Parliament to say we seek your approval to table the bill and therefore have consultations, because key to that, Chairperson, again, as I talk about the technological advancement, it is that is due to the public and therefore through the taxpayers' money. How do you go about it? But those are the politics and the economics of the sporting code and any digital content that we're talking about that we'll deal with at that time. Again, Chairperson, one of the key things, as I said, the matters that we're dealing with, they're cutting across, which therefore tells you that it is not only the Department of Communications and the Department of Sports and art and culture that are only working on this matter. There's the issue of treasury that must come on board, because if we're going to say these are the developmental sports, we should also be able to say where is the funding going to come from, because at all times we've got to make sure that funds follow functions. And as we identify this in the legislation so that ICASA can regulate, we've got to work together to say we really have to come. If it means that we change the law as the lawmakers, let's change the law so that we can enable ICASA to do its own work, that all interested parties must be able to be happy with it. Because ICASA has a responsibility to all, as I said, but bias towards the public interest as stipulated in the law. So we have the Treasury, the Department of Communications, the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, ICASA, of course, and Board, and the Competition Commission. Chairperson, I said most people wake up when we talk about whatever that's happening, the economics of sport, of the sporting events, when they can't watch it on TV. They do not consider the economics in terms of the rights and the bodies that are involved, and therefore the platforms that SABC is one of the platforms. I keep on making reference to SABC because people don't make noise about the other player. They always complain about SABC as a public broadcaster, and therefore if we can't watch our favorite matches, it means we are failing us. So we have then said it's high time that all those parties come together to say, how do you address this as we try to work towards achieving that. That is the concern, and of course addressing the challenges that we are faced with. Of course, ICASA will talk in detail in terms of how then did they start the process, and where to, as Chairperson, you made it clear on your opening remarks that we briefing Parliament at the start, because we also have to take the regulations for public comments so that we can get feedback. And Chairpersons, I'm pleased to then inform the members and the colleagues that are here that on Thursday the 12th, if the date is correct, but on the 12th, the two departments and ICASA will then meet again to consider certain things, and then we'll go for gazetting. Chairperson, I would like to pause there and, of course, with your permission, invite ICASA to take us through the details of the regulations and the listing of the events that we propose. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Do you know?
Do you know?
Good morning, honorable members. I'd also like to recognize in our midst our minister and our deputy minister. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Nomonde Gongweka Suoba. I'm a councillor at ICASA. Accompanying me is our senior manager, Ms. Violet Molede, also from ICASA. Thank you, honorable member, for affording us the chance to come and present here in Parliament on the review of the Sports Broadcasting Services regulations. Our honorable chair is to give a briefing on the progress made by the authority since we started the review process. This is the table of contents in terms of the elements that we're going to be talking to as the authority, and it will also end with a proposed way forward where the process, how the process is going to unfold. Honourable members, obviously the work that we do as the authority is informed by what's in the Act, and the regulations that we're trying to review currently are part of the Section 192 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, but primarily the regulations that we're reviewing as the authority, the sports review of the broadcasting services, they talk largely on the ECA Section 601 and also Section 60 Part 2. In the main, it talks to the subscription broadcasting services may not acquire exclusive rights that prevent or hinder the free-to-air broadcasting of national sporting events as identified in the public interest from time to time by the authority after consulting with the Minister and Minister of Sports in accordance with the regulations. The purpose in the main with this current review is basically to identify and list the national sporting events to regulate the broadcasting of national sporting events in South Africa. The process basically how it unfolded. The current regulations that we're trying to review, the first time that they were reviewed, the first review took place in 2003, the second review took place in 2010, and in 2018, as the authority, we embarked again on this particular review process. And we are currently reviewing the 2010 regulations on sports broadcasting services. And also in the main is to look at the list of the sporting events that have been identified as the national sporting events, as well as the minority and developmental sports in terms of Section 10 of 1 of the Broadcasting Act, and that cannot be acquired exclusively for broadcasting by subscription television broadcasting licensees. The aim of this particular regulation is to regulate the broadcasting of national sporting events in the public interest within the Republic of South Africa, and also to determine the criteria to be used in the listing of these particular sporting events. Maybe if I can bring the members of the House on how the listing of these national sporting events are determined. What you'll find in the current draft regulation is that we are reviewing the list of 2010. And that list, before we even arrive on that decision, there's a consultative process that takes place between the respective ministers, especially from a sports and arts recreation, where the mandate of sports resides. So they will give us the high level go ahead where this, the listing is actually concerned. And also identify, then list the national sporting events and provide a dispute resolution mechanism, but also to ensure that a wider audience reach while striking a balance between the commercial viability of all the broadcasters concerned. And then a listed national sporting event may be broadcast live, delayed, or delayed by a free-to-air broadcasting. So what will happen is that you'll find that perhaps we have one licensee that has acquired the rights, and they will have the rights to broadcast firsthand those that particular event that we see on television, and then they'll then sub-license to any free-to-air entity, and that free-to-air could be the public broadcaster who happens to be the FABC, or free-to-air who happens to be a commercial entity, which will be the ETV, So they will agree on whether they go to broadcast live simultaneously, or there will be a delayed live. A delayed live can happen perhaps probably 15 minutes, or it could be a 30-minute delay when that actually happens. But that would be the agreement that the entities will agree on. And a broadcaster is involved in broadcasting national sporting events shall file the records of all its broadcasts, and this is part of the regulatory requirements that are expected of them as licensees. And then the criteria for listing these particular sporting events is a confederation of sporting events involving a national team or a national representative, where they could be playing a semi-final or a final of a national knockout competition, or an opening game, a semi-final or a final confederation sporting event. So the process so far, as I've indicated when I started with my presentation, is that obviously, as we evolved, the process started. The first reviews took place in 2013. The second review took place in 2010. And now, the third review started in 2018. And when the process unfolded, obviously, we make available the discussion document. And out of that, we expect written submission from affected stakeholders and also the public. And from there, we received 38 submissions. And then, after receiving those submissions, then we sit down and we analyze those submissions, and then we have public hearings where interested stakeholders will indicate during the submissions whether they are interested in coming to make oral representations during the public hearings. And these public hearings were actually held last year from the 27th to the 31st of May instead of March of 2019. And what would happen during the process is that you pick up that during the public hearings, there'll be new information that comes. So as the authority, based on that new information that came during the oral public hearings, we then requested more information and clarity-seeking questions, and all that information was brought forward to the authority, which we received also in August 2019 last year. So post that process, once we've consolidated all this information, The Act requires us now to go back to the respective ministers, and especially where the list of national sporting events is concerned, to then present back to the Minister of Communications and Minister of Sports and Arts and Culture and Recreation. And that particular consultative process has taken place, as indicated by our Minister, Ndabeni Abrahams. And subsequent to that, we then held a workshop to further drill down on what the issues of concern that were raised by both ministries, and following that process to make sure that the process is also legit, we then expecting written submissions on the 12th of March, which is this Thursday, from both ministries. And upon receiving this information, we'll then consolidate and then finalize what we call almost draft regulations, and then present it back as required by law to the both respective ministers, and especially where the list of sporting events are actually concerned. So the list that you see there is the old list that comes from the 2010 regulations, and the list that I'm projecting now is the list that is sitting in the current draft regulations, which we had presented to the respective ministers when we met with them. So this is the list that we basically presented. which is still to be finalized. And part of the regulations, again, what we're looking at is also looking into the issue of dispute resolution, because we've also picked up that there's a lot of dispute that actually emanates during these processes, and the authority, with the review of the regulation, is proposing the following amendments to the current Act, that a broadcasting service licensee entering into a commercial agreement in terms of these regulations may report any unresolved disputes or non-compliance with the regulations to the authority. And as you know, that any failure to uphold what's listed in the regulations or any contravention, then the affected licensees then will be brought before the CCC, and should they be found guilty, there will be a fine that does not exceed 500,000 as stipulated in the regulation. So what would happen then, the next immediate steps, as we conclude the process, is that once we receive on Thursday the written representations from both the ministries, we'll sit as the authority and analyze and then work towards finalizing, and then we'll have the meeting with the respective ministers, present the proposed list and whatever information that has been presented to us, and once we get the green light, we can then publish the draft regulations in quarter one, which will be quarter one between April and I think June. That will be quarter one. But once we publish this draft regulation, there is still going to be a window of an opportunity where we're going to have public hearings. So should entities affected by our draft regulations have any other issues or they want certain things clarified, then there will be that window of opportunity within that quarter to make sure that we have those public hearings. And we're hoping that we'll finalize the regulations by the start or between during the quarter two of 2020. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you for the presentation. On the next part, allow members to participate. I'll now hand over to my co-chair, Madam Dillon.
Thank you, co-chair. Thank you, Castor's leader. Now is the time that we must engage with the presentation. We must bear in mind that this is the first of the kind of the briefing, and hoping that we'll have our own input in all that when they are going back to these two ministers. And then even our input must be looked at. Now is the time for questions, suggestions. Any hands? Honorable Malomane. Honorable Mshongo, Honorable Majingozi, Honorable Van Dam, in that order. Honorable Siabe, Honorable Mlaga, some of you raise the hands as if you don't want to. I want a vibrant committee. When I'm saying raising up your hands, you must not think twice. You have listened. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to colleagues and members from ICASA. My question, it will be based on, it is page 2 and page 5, on the issue of the determination of the proposed list. I just want to find out what criteria did ICASA use to determine the sporting events that are of public interest. The other question, it will be that, will the regulation not have a negative impact on sports development as a whole? Because we know now we are busy under this portfolio committee, sports, art and culture, about sports development. It won't affect us. Thank you.
Honorable Mazuman, Honorable Sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, yes, obviously we want as many as possible people to watch our sports, specifically soccer, rugby, cricket, etc. There is unfortunately one problem that I see with this, and this is that the SABC at this stage can hardly keep afloat as it is. How will they be able to pay? As we know, companies like MultiChoice, etc., are paying millions as license holders. And I can't just see how SABC will be able to feed the bill, as there's no subscription to SABC, so somehow there have to be money. And we know, as we've seen in the budget thus far, it seems to be a big problem. So I just want to see how you will pass that, as our public broadcaster at this moment is in financial ruins as it is themselves.
So I wanted to find out what is enough of public participation. I think we've called ICASA as the sporting committee because we've received complaints. You had the first draft, the second draft. What is the issue that this Thursday you must sum up and summarize everything to the minister? I'm questioning this because what is effective public participation? You've received numerous requests or queries or concerns from different sporting codes. I'll name them, Cricket South Africa, Boxing South Africa. But you don't even come back to them. SAFA wrote to you, but you don't come back to them with their concern. Now, you are speeding up this process for this Thursday. And I put it to you that can't we abandon this for now? And then I request that it's either if you have written back to those federation, let's see the proof, because we've called you for ICASA to come and account because they've raised numerous concerns. And one of the issues that I wanted to find out, you have in your presentation didn't even include that different groups, there's A, C, D, like of sporting code, your Olympic, your ICC, your FIFA World Cup. What criteria do you use to give airtime to SABC? Because there's a question of ICASA and CCSA, which is they're questioning that there's a collusion, there's an impact, a financial implication. One of the things that I wanted to find out, this draft is too technical, and I believe that it's flawed because they were raising some concern, and you don't come back to different sporting codes. And I put it to you that let's abandon this before the fourth. Don't send it to the minister on Thursday because you have your turnaround time. Consultation is not enough. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not enough for now. I know it's a draft. It will go back for another consultation. But let's start with the actual sporting code or actual federation that, you remember you had your presentation in different groups. For an example, another question that I wanted to find out. Usually SABC failed to reach an agreement with the IMG. IMG is International Management Group. What causes that? Because one of the things, SABC will go out and say, we are going to broadcast this mesh. Later they will say, no, we don't. Financially we cannot afford. Chair, for now, let me put it to rest for now. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Mshongo. Honorable Martin Gozi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the introduction by the Minister. And you know, sports and culture constitute an elementary nature of each society, and then we should be guarding against being influenced by Western cultures and artistic expressions. I'm saying that because I still believe that ICASA's mandate should be seen as the regulator of communication to all South Africans. And all the spaces that should be created should express the artistic and cultural expressions of our people. As you know, the minister said that we should be identifying the majority of the people and give to the people. The identity and the criteria that the culture should be using, I would believe it will be identifying national sporting events that should underpin the sporting diversity bias towards our people, particularly in places where the majority of the people are black people, to create interest towards ourselves as South Africans. At the same time, this doesn't mean that South Africa should not be learning from other cultures, but we should have our spaces expressed towards ourselves so that we can start to love and do what the sport is supposed to be doing, social cohesion and healing the wounds of the past through our sporting events, and that's where ICASA should be beaming and focusing what we should be looking at. Making money should not supersede the aims of ICASA, which is to ensure that all citizens of South Africa have access to basic communication and at a very affordable rate, as they say. So the main thing for me is not about making money, but is to make sure that ICASA is doing what it's supposed to be doing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Fandam. Honorable Madimbozi.
Thanks, Chair. Look, I understand the reason behind the regulations. You want the whole of South Africa to be able to watch sport and SABC, which is a good thing. But this, it won't happen. It's just populist, and I think if this is the idea that you're taking out to the public that is going to be done, it's a lie. There's no way this is going to happen. So if you're saying the Olympics must be broadcast on the SABC, where is government going to get money to buy those rights from? Because it's not like you go to the Olympics, you put up a camera, an SABC camera, and then suddenly it'll be on SABC. Paralympics, where will you get the money? FIFA, where will you get the money? The truth is, these rights have to be bought from the various federations, which are often international bodies. Those bodies won't be like, oh, well, South Africa really wants to broadcast this on the SABC, we'll give it to them at a lower cost. There simply is no money to make sure that this happens. And then also, how are you going to do it? Because they'll be bidding. So will you say to SuperSport and MultiChoice, no, you can't bid for these rights? You can't do that. Because I can't tell companies not to bid for various rights. This is not going to happen. So I agree with my colleague that you need to go back to the drawing board. You need to consult. And I think you need to reach a middle ground. For example, if we say, like with the Rugby World Cup, the final that included the Springboks, we can say there must be negotiations for that to be broadcast on the SABC. If it's the Olympics and maybe in the 100 meters final there's a South African, then those must be broadcast on the SABC. But if you proceed with this, one, you're going to tie up ICASA in years of litigation. That's money. Where is ICASA going to have money to go up against DSTV and MultiChoice? They will go to court for this because there's no way that this is going to happen. And I think you're literally just fooling the public because this is not going to happen. There's never going to be money for any of this to happen. Where are you going to get money to buy the FIFA World Cup rights? Government simply just does not have that money. So I agree, go back to the drawing board, consult again. This is not going to happen.
Thank you, Honorable Fandam. Honorable Spear.
Thanks, Chair. Let me welcome the presentation from ICASA.
My first question is, what informed the review, the need for a review? Is it because every 5 years there must be a review? Or was there any research that pointed to the need for a review? Further, were the relevant stakeholders consulted? And if they were, what is their view on the proposed amendments? And in the proposed review, in your view as ICASA, do you think it will bring proper balance between public interest and commercial interest? And how do you intend going about it? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mlaba.
Yeah, thank the chairperson. Thank you, no, it's okay. I normally struggle to pronounce Maneli, so he knows it very well, so it's fine.
Chair, I think for me, I'm partly covered by Honorable Siabi, but I want to take it further on the commercial and public interest. You see, we are here in Parliament because we are elected by people. It is not just come here by coincidence. Equally, we want business to flourish in our country. So the balance that we're talking about is not that we are here to undermine investment and so on. We also recognize the fact that there's majority of our people who have been excluded for many, many years. And part of sport is also to build patriotism and social cohesion so that our people can also participate even when they don't have money. So we can then start a discussion on the basis of who have money, who does not have money. Our discussion must be, how do we access those poor people in rural areas? These sporting, national sporting events. Now, in my view, ICASA, my proposal to this committee first, before I make my comment, is that maybe Parliament must also do some public hearing on this matter. So that the two committees must look at this proposal so that we go out and talk to people. Because from the presentation we received today, it's like consultation is only done with sporting confederation, people who have direct interest. Now, those sporting confederations don't watch themselves. It's the public that watch them, the public that cherish them. So the most important component of this process for me should be out there in the public. That's my first proposal, Chair, if the committee agrees. Secondly, I'm also acknowledging that ICASA, in your presentation, you also indicated that there's still time for engagement. You still, after the draft, you still can amend and look at the draft. and also after that consultation, two chairs, also look into engagement with these various stakeholders, these confederations, whatever, PSL and whoever is involved, so that we also can speak to them. We are not necessarily interfering or disrupting their business. All we are saying is, how do they make sure that even the ordinary people have access? I think that's the most important part. The third issue is on the dispute resolution mechanism. I'm just having a concern here in terms of what you have presented. You say if somebody fails to comply,
with your regulations, there's a fine of 500,000. But if you look at the cost of the sporting rights, I mean, that 500,000 can be paid. Even if we break the law for more than 10 times, we can pay that 500,000. The actual cost of those rights versus the fine, maybe we may need to look at it differently, because the fine is intended to ensure you don't break the regulation. But if the fine is much cheaper, it also say you can break the law more than five times. It doesn't help, so you can pay. So maybe also look at that area for me. It's quite important that we also look at it. The last issue, I'm also concerned that we more focus on SABC as a public broadcaster. We know SABC has got challenges, I think we all know. So for me, the main issue here is not the stakeholders. It's our role as parliament. How do we exercise the public representative element in us as parliament to ensure that our public benefit from electing us into office? So the issue of SABC and obviously everyone knows that SABC will not be able to buy those rights. It's a known fact. But the issue is, how then do we help the public? The SABC issue will be dealt with separately. How do we strengthen and empower ICASA to ensure that at least that access to the public is open? I think that's my input. Maybe the last proposal, Chair, is that maybe the joint committees should also consider calling those stakeholders together with ICASA so that everyone can present this side of the story. It's in the public interest as well, so that we don't make judgment on ICASA or on PSL or whoever is involved as a player, but we sit around with them, because, like I said, Ntatesia at least partly covered me, because the main contention here is how we balance the commercial aspect and the public interest without each compromising the other. Because if we push too hard on the other side, we're also chasing away investment when we say we want more investment. If we become lenient as well, the public also is fighting with us. Well, we elected you to represent us. We can't watch a rugby World Cup. Where are you? So we need to balance so that everybody can benefit from the system. Those who are making money can make money without compromising the public. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chair. I thought I wanted to come in before ICASA can respond, because I want us to have a proper tone in the meeting, so that even when ICASA goes out with the minister and the Ministry of Sports, Arts and Culture, there's an idea of what members are saying. I was worried when members are saying ICASA is lying, things will not happen, and so on. And I thought the object of the regulation is about, if you look at bullet 4, ensure a wider audience reach while striking the balance with commercial viability of the broadcaster. And it's not only about looking at the interest of the SABC, but it's also about striking the balance and looking at issues of the public interest. So I thought members also should look at that
in its independence, ICASA would want to look at both the public interest and the commercial interest, and the presentation, it's not solely looking at the SABC, but looking at all the critical stakeholders, and I'm referring specifically to Honorable Van Damme, so that we are on par, and I think this is the first engagement of the meeting, and as they go out and correct on other things, including taking the inputs of members, we should at least have that understanding. And I think, Chair, I would agree more with what the committee is raising to say, even on their own, as part of oversight, the committee can then engage with sports followers, including federations, to also get their own feeling, but even have a joint public hearing with ICASA being there, because sometimes people can even feel better to talk to the portfolio committee and raise their issues, and then certain considerations can be made. But I like what the minister said, to say as we engage on this thing, there's a financial element where Treasury also has to look into some of these things, because if we talk social cohesion, we also have some of these things that will have financial implications. And my last issue, Chair, is that members should look at this thing. We're talking about something that took place in May last year. Of course, we may have been overtaken by other processes. There's commercial radio, community radio stations that will also, going forward, look into. There's OTTs that ministers spoke to and all other things. So as we come back and the engagement continues, we should also look at that, including what Honorable Siabi was saying. When you do a research, you must also show SIA, the social impact assessment of some of those things. So we should be able to bring some of those things. I thought I must set this tone so that members should also know that we're doing that in the best interest of the public, but also balancing all those elements. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, at the end will be given to you, Honorable Minister. My main worry, we've been doing this already, was if we can look at in the years that we've been trying and trying, the reality is that we need, as two committees, to be hands-on. We must do our own work, not undermining what we are doing. Sometimes in public hearings, if are done with certain categories of the people, as a committee, we know where to go when you want to do a public hearing. I'm not saying you were selective, but we are here elected for looking after the poor of the poorest. So immediately that we're trying to go down for public hearings, we'll have our own program, because we know where people are. Some, they can't even go where the public hearings are. I'm not sure where have you been taking these public hearings, but this renewal, if you look at these years, 2010, 2013, 2018, 2019, it's 2020. Something is not right. But you are here to take what you are saying, and then as two committees, we would love to assist. But you are seeing that also we have this element of development in sport. So immediately that we are not looking on all inclusive issues, but I'm thinking that you have started a process,
and the ministry, you sat down and you've done the workshop. We're not going to undermine that. Go back to the ministry, but we'll do our own introspection as these two committees. I thank you. Ikas, please. To second round after, but if I'm seeing only two hands, okay, after second round, just now. Oh, Honorable, just a moment, your hand was up. No, no, can I give you now, and Minister wanted to talk, and then Ikas, can you go on?
Okay, I want the Ikasa to respond before. Remember, there are questions, so I can't just bombard them with questions. They must respond. And
in order that them. If you are not satisfied about the questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. I request to make a presentation or response because there are policy and legislative matters in the questions that are being asked. And therefore, in order to enable the regulator to deal with regulations, I must then take the House into confidence in terms of what is it that we have done, both ourselves, Parliament, and government in this instance. Members will remember that Section 192 of the Constitution is specific on what ICASA must do. I am highlighting this because I said ICASA regulates based on what is it that we have laid as the foundation in terms of the law. They don't come up with their own regulations. We set the foundation to say, this is what we want to see in South Africa. This is what we want to see as part of building that social cohesion that we talk about. And therefore, sport, we see it as one of the leading aspects in ensuring that the social cohesion. And then ICASA takes it from there. I'm referring to Section 192 of the Constitution, which reads as follows, Honorable Chairperson, if you allow me. National legislation must establish an independent authority to regulate broadcasting in the public interest, and to ensure fairness and a diversity of views broadly representing South African society, not particular strata of the society. That's why I said, as they do this work, key to the work that they do is that look takes into consideration the issue of public interest at the center. And therefore, it means as lawmakers that are concerned by everything else, we've got to create an enabling environment for ICASA to be able to do that, because they're not going to come and rewrite the law for us. If you go to the Electronic Communications Act, Section 60, Subsection 1, it reads as follows. Subscription broadcasting services may not acquire exclusive rights that prevent or hinder the free-to-air broadcasting of national sporting events. As identified in the public interest, from time to time by the authority after consulting with the ministers of sport and communications in accordance with the regulations prescribed by the authority. Those two, and then if you move forward to subsection 2, failure to achieve subsection 1, it's very clear that we need to do. I said earlier in my welcoming remarks, Chairperson, that there are elements of legislation that require us to work together. I then further tapped into the fact that there are key stakeholders. This is not a matter of just the authority, but it goes beyond the department and sport or these portfolio committees to say the treasury. There's the competition commission. Because if the authority and the society gets a sense that now we see the sporting rights are moving into the commercialization side or the subscription side, and therefore as the public we do not have access to them, it becomes the role of the lawmaker to say, what is it that we need to address? Because we have set up the laws, and we have confined ICASA to do certain things that it can't go beyond their mandate. And of course, our focus is on free-to-air, both ETV and SABC, where we're saying they are the people that carry the mandate to make sure that the public is informed at all times. As I move to the one, there's another question that was asked in terms of a criterion. That was listed. If you read there again on slide one on the objects of the regulation, it says to determine that criterion. And the determination of the criterion again goes to the naming of what is it that we refer to as developmental sport in South Africa. And that's done by the policymaker and Parliament, not ICASA. ICASA gets to act on that consultation to say, this is what the law says. This is what the people that we have to consult with, according to the law, then are identifying as developmental sports. As they do that list, then they go back to say, is this feasible? Hence, I'm saying the Competition Commission and Treasury have to come on board. Because I note the concerns on SABC's affordability, which is what we raise ourselves. Don't put too much burden on SABC. But does that mean that we are saying that people of South Africa must not have access to this matter? Or, as policymakers and lawmakers, we've got to take it into consideration and our responsibility as the people who represent the public to say, what is it that we must put to enable SABC to be able to broadcast in the interest of the public? We shouldn't, as public representatives, Honorable Charles, we shouldn't want to be seen as if we are favoring the few against the majority. I am saying this because earlier on, again, as ICASA made the presentation and the referrals on the objects of the regulations, they talk about that need for a balance. As you correctly put it, it is in our interest to make sure that as we regulate, as we introduce law, it's not inward looking like we want the public to be happy. Because again, if we're making the commercial side suffer, the economy of the country is not going to go. So for us, they go together. That is why even on the consultation, ICASA has to consult with all those that are affected as defined in the law, and of course we take it to Parliament to say, can you give us an opportunity to take it for public comments so that people, and people being people that we go and mobilize, all of us as public reps, they can make inputs, and as they make inputs we see, is this feasible again within the existing law? If it's not feasible, what are other measures that we must put in place? We are not going to say SABC is going to afford to compete with multi-choice. They have different money. We're not going to say that. But at the same time, we shouldn't give an indication that therefore those that afford the subscription services are better than others. So our responsibility is to try to find each other in that context. How do you make sure that the pay subscribers are also not disadvantaged? We grow business or we grow profits whilst we're serving the public that elected us to be here and that the regulator regulates on. In relation to the fines, Honorable Malala, once more, they are lower. We are complaining ourselves, but unfortunately it's defined in the law. So that's why I said other things, they require us to go back to say, are these things working? Of course, when we introduced certain laws, the environment then was allowing for these things. Was certain things we didn't foresee that they would happen. SABC not being able to sign with whatever bodies, of course, we're looking at the financial sustainability of SABC. But at times, as I said, key to this is that the Department of Sports, Sports, Arts and Culture, has committed to that there's the need for them to also look into RIA, the regulatory impact assessment that was asked, but also the cost of the rights. And unfortunately, ICASA is not going to go and determine the cost. That's not their responsibility. They can't get involved how much must be charged and all that. But they have to make sure that the regulations take into consideration a balanced environment in the public interest. I just wanted to respond to those that are policy and legislative related, Chairperson. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Honorable Zwelane. I think as a start, why are we even bothering with regulating the national sports events? I think as the authority, we care about sports because it's evident that sports has a potential to unite this country. And we know without a doubt that sports also supports our government's objective of building a socially cohesive nation. But also importantly, as the authority, our mandate is very clear that we regulate in the public interest. And I will address the questions that talk to us as the authority, and I'll leave some to Violet to also take us through the answers that have been raised by the honorable members. I think there was also one question that spoke to the issue around the developmental of sports. the regulations are very clear where in section 10I, where provision is actually made for development and developmental sport, which says they include national sports programming as well as developmental sport of minority. So provision is there, it's clear on the Act where this particular aspect is taken care of. There was a matter that was raised by, I think, Honorable Mshongo, where he spoke about public participation. I think the regulations are pretty clear in terms of the processes that we ought to embark on as the authority when we go out and consult with the affected stakeholders. And when we started with this process, we undertook that particular process where we went out, we consulted with numerous stakeholders, and over and above that, we held public hearings. And you raised a concern about we should stop whatever it is that we're trying to do because you feel that this process is not consultative enough, and also the involvement of the ministers. I think Minister also touched on it, that also the Act is very clear when you look at subsection 60, I won't read all of it, where it says, after consultation with the Minister and the Minister of Sports, and in accordance with the regulations prescribed by the authority. So the processes that we're embarking on, it's not something that we as the authority would do out of our own free will. We do what is prescribed in the Act. Also, what we presented here, Honorable Mshongo, it's just a presentation. We are still to publish the draft regulation, where you'll get much more depth in terms of what the proposed regulations will actually look like. So for now, I'm pleading with Honorable Mshongo to give us a bit of time until we publish the draft regulations in quarter one, where you'll get a broader overview in terms of what we're trying to do with this particular review of the regulations. What informed the need for a review? I think, as Elia indicated, also prescribing the Act, is that every 3 to 5 years, we are required as the authority to go back and revisit all the regulations just to ensure that is everything still in order. And that is why we also embark in public participation processes, because once we go out there to the public, that is where we get to understand whether these regulations, are they still serving the public that we've been put in place to assist from a regulatory perspective. And obviously with the part of the funding of the SABC, I don't think that from an ICASA perspective we can comment that much. However, I just want to take myself back to the SABC of around 2008, where they had a healthy financial balance sheet where they could go out to trade and to market. And had we embarked on this process during that era, I'm not sure whether this question could actually be asked, but for us it's also important to understand that we also have South African citizens who ought to have access to these very same sports that are broadcast on our public on our television screen. And obviously when we review these regulations, it's also to try and ask ourselves, last year in 2019, South Africans almost did not watch the finals of the World Rugby Cup. So we came that close, where a whole lot of people who are not on the subscription pay television bouquet were not going to be able to watch the sport, the important sport. A lot of children wouldn't have known who Siya Kolisi is had SABC and MultiChoice not reached an agreement. So there, they almost like what we call self-regulation. They met amongst themselves and decided to say, in the public interest, how do we make sure that South Africans are not deprived of accessing this important game? And then I think I'll leave to Violet to talk to the criteria that we used in determining the list, and also maybe the dispute resolution.
Thank you. Before I start, I want us to look at Section 60 of the Act. It says restriction on subscription broadcasting services, which means that the obligation is on subscription broadcasting services. There's a perception out there that these regulations are actually for the SABC. No, they are not for the SABC. What the regulations are trying to do is that where there's a national team, South Africans they need to see that national team. So basically what they are saying is that in instances where, because the broadcasting rights, when the broadcasters broadcast this event, they buy broadcasting rights. So for instance, let's say there's a Rugby World Cup, for instance, where AmaBhokoBhoko is going to be shown. These regulations are saying that event should be shown on free-to-air broadcasting. So, let me finish. So basically...
Sorry, we are protected. Don't do that, Honorable Member.
So basically what we are saying, when you read the authority's proposed list, please read it in conjunction with the criteria for listing. Because we are very specific. We have said when you are listing, it should be a confederation sporting event involving a national team or a national representation. Meaning that, for instance, if there's Paralympics, World Cup on Paralympics, where there is a national team, we are saying that free-to-air broadcasters should be able, people of South Africa should be able to see that event. So there seems to be like a confusion somehow that this list is for free-to-air broadcasters and is for the SABC. And we are talking about free-to-air broadcasters. We are not only talking about the SABC. So that's what I was trying to say. To say that the obligation is not on the SABC. It's on the subscription broadcasting services. On the issue of dispute resolution, we are aware that the figure is very low. We have in ICASA alternative dispute resolution regulations, which they still speak to 500,000. Unfortunately, this is based on the legislation. However, according to the committee on complaints committee within ICASA, they can go as far as 1 million. So we agree that 500,000 is too little.
Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Tolani. May I just check those that want to come back for the second round? In particular, those who have not spoken, I would want to prioritize those and then get to the other members. Honorable Fazi, your hand is up, followed by Honorable Fandang, Honorable Mtongo. We had also Honorable Mlala, who wanted to come in the second round. So those are the hands we'll take now, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, let us welcome the presentation. I think I must say that, first of all, as a committee, as a joint committee, we need to appreciate the work that has been done. Although some of us might not be 100% happy, but something has been done. From 2010 up to now, I think we must not undermine the work that has been done by ICASA. I think we need to appreciate it. So moving forward, I think some of the recommendations that have been made to say by both Deputy Minister and Minister, to say perhaps also Mulalo, or Honorable Mulalo, to say that perhaps maybe when you have this public hearing as a committee, we need to be invited to form part. And I, one thing I appreciate on page 11, when you talk about the dispute resolutions, you are not hiding to say they are not disputes. You are raising it, and you are transparent about this issue, and you are coming up with solutions. And I think that we must allow you, this is a presentation, as you are saying that it's not a final draft. The two ministers still need to consult before you come back to us. So I think, Chair, we need to appreciate
it.
Thanks, Chair. Let me just preface my input by saying this. The undertone of some of the feedback insinuates that some people here are not here to represent the public interest. All of us here are elected. We are public representatives. No one here is carrying some sponsored view from multi-choice or anywhere. So if there's any of that thinking, can we please not hear it again? We are public representatives. We are here to represent the public. And what I am saying is, so on the one hand, we're told, don't be too harsh on ICASA. They're still going to go back and do some more work. On the other hand, ICASA is like, no, this is what we're going to do. You have to account. And I'm saying, quite bluntly, this is not going to work. You need to hear that view because you're here in Parliament. And you came to hear our input. And my input as a member of Parliament is that what you're doing here will not work. What I'm saying here, you are selling the public dream, the public which I represent. How this thing works is, okay, let's take, let me take a category of sports you have that's coming up. We have the Olympics, yes? So we all know how that bidding works, right? Let's take, for example, it'll be CAS, it'll be SABC, it'll be ETV, it'll be SuperSport. Then they bid for those rights. What you're saying is that this, firstly saying, no, it applies only to the subscription TV, but also no, sorry, you're saying it applies, first, the person from ICASA says, no, this list applies to free-to-air TV, and then the minister says, no, it's about subscription broadcasting services. But that's not how it's going to practically work. So if there's a bidding of the Olympics, do you say to multi-choice, don't bid? Because it's not up to ICASA to decide what the price of those rights will be. The Olympics are not, it's not like something that is sold by a South African company. It's sold by an international company. And they will take money from whoever has the deepest pockets. So I'm saying to you, what you're doing here, you're selling the public dreams, because it's not going to happen. Because the person who's going to have the deepest pockets in that instance, in the Olympics, which are coming up later this year, will be multi-choice. So it's not going to happen. So you are selling them dreams, and it's not going to work. So, and even the SABC itself is opposed to your regulation. So how can you say you regulate? So there's two free-to-air, because you're like, oh, no, not only the SABC, there's two of them. It's SABC and ETV. ETV also doesn't have the amount of money that multi-choice has. So what I am saying instead is that we all, let me make it clear, we were the ones that fought, because there's an idea here that we're here fighting for certain classes of people. It was us who fought and asked for the SABC, for multi-choice, to please give the SABC the right for the Springbok final. So don't be here assuming that some of us are only here fighting for people who can afford DSTV. We understand that everyone needs to be... No, please,
I
Chair.
Just say your view so that it's not like what we're all here.
No, Chair. Let me carry on, please. So what I'm saying is, you see, you've lost my train of thought now. Disturb me. Yeah, well, young Moshe. seriously, Chair, what am I saying? No, Chair, what are you saying? You disrupted me. You're disrupting me on purpose. Oh, okay, sorry, Chair. Through you. I've forgotten what I was saying. So what I'm saying is, what we should instead be looking at, Chair, is that we look at subclasses. I don't know how to talk. But anyway, what should be looking at is that, for example, with the Olympics, I'm assuming, I don't know if those rights have been bid for, but I'm assuming they have, and SuperSport has them. What should be put in place, and I know this is what the SABC wants as well, that's a public broadcaster, is that we make a mechanism possible for them to engage in negotiations. I don't know if it's regulations. I mean, that's what the ICASA must go back and look at. We're giving them our inputs, and then they must use the technical skills. And I'm afraid to say it's a little bit embarrassing. It doesn't seem to be any kind of technical knowledge that went into drafting these regulations. That they must look at establishing a mechanism that will allow a negotiation for certain games to be broadcast on the public broadcaster, But this year, again, it's simply not going to happen. And the minister, deputy minister, must not again tell me how I must make my input in this committee. She must not.
Okay. Honorable Van Dam, you've spoken. We'll now get to Honorable Mthongo. You can have your informal just shut outside the session, but for now, let's still be back in the session. Honorable Mthongo was to speak. But let's just remember we're not dealing with the draft regulation of the presentation we have. And you will still have draft regulations that are out, and we'll still make inputs. Can we then have Honorable Mthongo on the
Thanks, Chair. I think I still stand that this is a flawed technically, it must be abandoned. That was my first input. Why I'm saying that I can support that there are no, for an example, the minister, they were talking about the 12th. Can you explain before the 12th, this week you spoke of the 12th, the date. Why do you gather something which is not going to work? Unless, I'm not saying you're going to gather it on the 12th, but I'm saying why do you gather something that is not going to work? Why I'm saying that plus minus 10 federation did not support this concept. It's here in paper, we've received correspondence. And I was asking, the first question was, what feedback, can you share the feedback SAFA presented? PSL presented, Cricket South Africa presented. Give us a feedback. What was your input? Or what was your response? You didn't share that. I've asked that question because I want to evaluate exactly. Did they tell us, you know? One of the things that I'm saying, another question, which is there any colluding between ICASA and CCSA? It's a question. Another question which was not clause number 5.1.2, it talks about opportunity given. Clause 5.1.2. Now, this will hinder, I think one of the things that you did not answer, Minister, the SABC issue. They will go out to say we'll have this match later, no. You know, it's playing with people's heart. You know, lovers of soccer or any sporting code that you think of, that last year, that was the talk of the town. This will be broadcast later. No, there's in, you come together with the Minister of Sports and later they'll do that. But I'm saying, Guti, one of the things that PSL put it to us, that they're getting revenue from this. 80% is going to be doomed, according to PSL. 80% of PSL revenue. Now, I'm asking you, Guti, and I'm still saying, Guti, this is not going to work. Why do you gazette? And one of the things that I see, this draft, it went to the first phase, second phase, this is the third, if not the fourth. The consultation part, because you consult, you come up. Now, this consultation, what I'm saying, it's not enough. I still stand, Guti. In other words, technically, this is not thoughtful of Guti. You know, technically, one of the things, when we do bills or amendments, there must be motives. I think what Pranox stated clearly, do you do it because it's 5 years term or 3 year term, or is there a need for us to do this? And on a lighter note, Chair, maybe one of the things that I consider that people went to World Cup, they benefited one of our members here. Now, maybe they were thought that this will flourish, but I, that knocks you not going back to Japan.
Honorable Mlala, I noted you. I noted Honorable Siabe. No, I noted Honorable Mlala. Honorable Fago, is there enough for the second round? No. Thereafter, I will give to the Deputy Minister there, or I've not seen Honorable Muloman, will be before that. So it will be Honorable Mlala, Honorable Siabe, Honorable Mulomane. But just as we speak, even the sports that we are talking to, just check the list so that we don't debate what is not on the table. It does help so that we don't discuss for the sake of it. Honorable Mlala.
Yeah, thank you. Chairperson, I'm a bit concerned about the tone of the discussion today. It's taking another version. I think it's taking the party political shape. I thought we are a committee and then we must work on. Can I be allowed, Vandam, to speak? Because you've been speaking. I never interjected.
Honorable Mlala, you are protected.
Yeah, please. Yeah, I don't want this. It's my view, and I have the right to share it here. I don't want this discussion to degenerate. And if we have different views, yes, we must express them. But they must not take that shape of a discussion. And I'll give an example. If somebody stand up and say, this is not going to work, it may be a valid point. It may be a valid point, it's not going to work. But why not share with the committee on why you say it's not going to work? Because, or give a different proposal to the ones in the table so that we are able to engage. But I'm just giving an example. I'm not attacking my colleagues. I'm just giving that as an example. And I made a proposal here, and I don't see colleagues talking to it because this process is not going to complete now, I think. And we all agree. Even ICASA agrees that this process is not going to be legislated tomorrow and then everything else is done tomorrow. I made a proposal that why can't we as parliament, because we are representing the people, what is stopping us from going out and getting those views ourselves from all the sectors? It doesn't matter whether it's business, whether it's confederation, whether it's the public out there. But it's our role as parliament. Why can't we do that? So that when we come back to ICASA, we have also consolidated our views. That will be the views of the public. So that we don't come here and grandstand and say this is the view of the public when in actual fact it may not necessarily be what the public say. So that's the other concern I have is that for instance, it's unfair to ask ICASA to respond to the SAPC matter. SAPC is not here. But we have the right as parliament, joint committees, to call SAPC and ask them those questions. So that's why I'm saying maybe our discussion is deteriorating. What is the point of order now? I'm giving my views.
Point of order,
okay, what is the point of order?
The point of order, politicians must become politicians, not administrators. We have an executive who must account, not answer our question, because that question was directly to the minister. That's a point of order. Didn't say ICASA,
yes,
or the
Chair.
Minister.
Honourable members, let's agree that you are now using the platform for the order to clarify further the issue arising. But let's allow Honourable Mlala to speak to the point. But I'm sure you also agree in what you said, that that's not a question to be answered by ICASA. I think that's the point he's making. Continue, Honourable Mlala.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think the other issue that I think we need to also consider as Parliament is whether that will be referred to as interference, because I'm still concerned about the dispute resolution mechanism. Maybe also it needs to be properly presented so that we know which areas of dispute. Because like I said, our role is not to fight with business, but equally we are not fighting with our people. We need to find a balance so that both can thrive and survive in the current environment. But the dispute mechanism, I think, particularly on the 500,000 fine, I think I need to emphasize, maybe it must be broken down further in your next presentation so that we can understand if it's a law, if it's a policy matter, if it's a law matter, it must still come back to us and let's look at that. but the other issue that I think we need also to look at. It's how do we then compare what is happening in our country with other countries. For instance, in other maybe European countries, you'll say it's first world country. But in most European countries, the national professional league, it's done in the public interest. Like we're here in South Africa, we're only looking at finals and confederations at the broader level. But in other countries, their national league, it's also prioritized. I don't know what is So I don't know if you can also look at that in terms of prioritizing the national sporting event, because national sporting event for me cannot just mean a national team. Yes, the national team carries the flag, we agree, but we also need to look at what majority of people are watching in this country, not exclude the minorities. But in terms of our prioritization, if majority of people are soccer loving, there's nothing wrong in that. We must encourage people to love other sports, but for now, in terms of our research, and we must look at, when we talk about public interest, we are not just talking about the general public, we are also talking about the majority view in the country. So also, I'm just raising that with Ikasa to look at. I'm not saying my view is perfect, but I'm saying let's look at those small dynamics so that in the next round of presentation, from where I'm sitting, I think it's a work in progress. But we must also do our part as Parliament so that by the time we meet them again, before the finalization of the process, we also have done our work in terms of doing the consultation. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Lesa.
Thanks, Chair. I think Honorable Malala walked on my path. And I want to say, this is work in progress, and my view is that it will work. It may not work to our satisfaction, but it will work. Already, they've given an example of the Rugby World Cup final, where it has worked. Because the purpose here, or the objective, is not to sell or buy. The objective is to air, is to broadcast. And anything that can make it possible for the public broadcasters to broadcast in the public interest. Yes, we're all representing the public, whether minority public or majority public, but we're representing the public because we're not voted by the same public, some by majority public, some by minority public. Some were given the responsibility to make sure that they take these things forward. And we must do so. That's why I'm saying my view is that it will work. And we must give it an opportunity to try and make it work. It's work in progress, like it is reported. And what we must do is to assist ICASA to make it work. If we have the technical know-how, let's submit that technical know-how to ICASA to make it work in the interest of the public, because we are all public representatives. Unlike to shoot it down even before it is crawling and say, this thing will not go anywhere. That's why I'm saying, Chair, my personal view is that it will work. And in the presentation here, even by the minister, they've given examples of where it has worked so that the public can have that opportunity to view sporting codes that of that are of national interest. Other things like making silver collection for somebody to go somewhere, we'll do that later. We'll do that later. Let's concentrate. Thanks.
So we can talk about that one after also. But can we just take the deputy minister?
Chair, just a quick one, and I think that will also assist Honorable Mhlongo, because the question was very direct. If we look at what happened between 2012 and 2018 on SABC total PSL investment, on TV, the rights were sitting at 1.2 billion, production at 4.1 million, and revenue at 373 million. On radio, the rights were sitting at 323 million, production on 105, revenue on 93. And we're saying, this is where we are for now. We know the situation of the SABC. And ICASA can't talk on behalf of the SABC, but we're giving you this scenario to say, if the Act is about looking at the public interest, or the regulations is about the public interest and the commercial interest, how do we look at this thing on the basis of social cohesion and the situation we find ourselves in? So the committees, in the best interest of the public, can look at that and then start to engage, even when they go to the public hearing. Having this in mind, looking at the costs are, and saying, how do we strike the balance? So, and even one of the things that we should look at is that, is it possible for us to unbundle the rights so that whoever that gets the rights for broadcasting, the TV ones must be aside, the radio ones must be aside. But also even there, you now have to move to a level of community radios. Because even there's talent, we want communities at that level, and we know what the impact of those community radios are doing. But we also say there's OTT now. People no longer consume content in this. So committee must look at all those things, even when we engage and say, given all these things and how the cost has been evolving, what then? So these are some of the things we should look at and then be able to engage. Of course, there are international best practices. We don't even have to go to Australia even before we look at BBC, because if you looked at somewhere last week, the BBC was there with Peter Ndoro talking about how public broadcasting is finding it difficult in terms of financing by its own government. And BBC is also in the same situation. But go into the international best practice and look at just what Nigeria did on sports rights between the public interest and the commercial interest. So our researchers in the committee can just bring that to the attention of members. And then we engage on that. Even when we go into the public hearings and engage, we will be having all those things and look at the bigger picture of social cohesion and then say, how do we strike the balance? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Minister. I think we have given an opportunity for members to engage second round. I think we'll end up repeating ourselves in the process. Yeah, because your hand the second round, so your hand may probably have been up as the inputs are being made. So that's why I didn't recognize the hand. When I counted, those who needed to speak on the second round, you were not there. I'm saying including yourself never raised that point. But I'm just saying, because this is just work in progress, we'll still have an opportunity to make input. But I just thought that so that we also don't put pressure on ICASA to try and speak to regulations as though we have a draft, we have draft regulations before us. What is clear in the committee from the point of way forward is that firstly, we appreciate that we have been given work in progress. Secondly, is that it is part of the consultation process that meeting with ministers will also see. So it's not a precondition that there must be this before that would happen. It's part of the consultation process. And this is in terms of the law. Now, I'm raising this point deliberately so that even the suggestion that talks to a parliamentary process is not a precondition for ICASA to continue to do its work as legislated, so that we don't make a confusion on that. So that would then happen so that we are able to make the improvement. I think what we are saying is, in the stakeholders that you consider ICASA, these committees play an important role, and they also need to be brought on board in that process so that we are able to engage further on that. And I think we are also clearer in the input that this is not about the SABC or that. You are looking at broadcasting services, right? Now, in that scope, any regulation that gets made, it's never made for a specific matter at a specific time, because that's also a test for sustainability of decisions that you make. SABC may have problems today, but this committee, especially communications in particular, can't ignore the fact that SABC presented a turnaround strategy, and it has got a responsibility to support SABC to be able to be a national broadcaster that can bring confidence to us. So I'm just saying we should, as we discussed, it's not like other matters are new. We need, therefore, to play our role, that of oversight that SABC is able to implement, especially when the National Assembly has appropriated funds to bail SABC out of the situation they are in. So we have that responsibility. And therefore, you can't make regulations on the basis of the crisis you may have today as though it's a permanent feature you'd want to see. We have to save state-owned entities generally, but in particular, SABC, because where you really want to see the spirit and intent of Section 192 of the Constitution is when also SABC is functioning at an optimum level as a national broadcaster. So I just thought it's important, if we don't clarify those, you may think that the portfolio committees have not made any input, and we just probably rely on the toning and so on. But I think after everything else, we need to get to the real issue. And the real issue is, these are the issues we've noted. However, it's in our interest that you balance the commercial and public interest. And we are biased to the public interest because that's where the majority is found. Because they still rely on the public broadcaster, they still rely on the government to still make sure that they have access. Okay? But that does not mean that everything is filed in the paid platform. Because even there you have differentiation. The working class is still found outside of the premium content. And therefore, when you look at regulations, you also need to look at that, because it's about access in the main. So I'm just saying that we allow at least the process to continue, and we engage in that fashion. So that meeting with yourselves, ministers, you at least have a sense of where the portfolio committee is going. That we have to protect the interests of the public, but we also don't want to collapse the industry, and we agree to the balance that we need to create. So I just think that if we have that understanding, we're way forward here. But we'll still have to engage further as the draft regulations will also be publicized. And I think where there's information available, so that also it's not monopolized, circulate the information so that committee members can engage from a point of information so that we make same references as we speak. And I think the last point is to say the discussions are such that they also allowed us an opportunity as Parliament and the executive to also reflect on the policy regime side of things, because that is not the work of ICASA, but it's the work that we need to do. And I think that's what we would focus on. So I think from where one is sitting, we have a way forward. And in that score, that's the way forward we have. Do I take it that the House agrees that's how we move? Right. So if that is the how we move, that's the item we had before us. Because I'm not chairing alone, I'll give my co-chair here to just make a closing remark, and at the meeting would be closed. But the minister just wants to clarify that she has yet the way forward. So you want to clarify that?
Okay, thank you, Chairperson.
And then I'll give to you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. And indeed, we have had the way forward. I just wanted to apologize for the members who felt like we are attacking them personally. And if we gave that indication, indeed, it was not really something that we were looking at. And, of course, ours is just to at all times try to find balance, that even if it's the cast of whoever that you appear with, they're not attacked personally themselves. So we just try to come in when DM says people must not speak like this, or when I come in to say we represent the party. It's not like we are attacking members individually or who they represent. So I just wanted to really make that point that if we offended any member of parliament, we really apologize. Please accept our apology. We didn't intend to do so. But Chairperson, because there was a specific thing also that it is not referred to in terms of the SABC cancelling. SABC says we're going to broadcast, and then they later go back on their way. Chairperson, I do not know of any instance. Even in the instance that I had to come in and intervene, as the Chairperson of Sport will remember, when I had to come in the Minister of Sport and meet with the Federation, it was when there was difference in the pricing. Not that SABC has committed, but then they said, we're going to give you 10 million, you go ahead, and therefore we're no longer doing it. It was on the issue of difference in the pricing. So I didn't want us to leave here saying SABC cannot stick to their word. Of course, we do know the issues that are underlying there in terms of the SABC contracts that have been signed. So that was the issue that led to SABC saying, although we had committed, but now when we realize that it's 50 million versus 10 million, I'm making an example, therefore we can't go ahead. So SABC is still committed in ensuring that it broadcasts those that are within their mandate and within their affordability to make sure that the people of South Africa stay informed and entertained as it is their responsibility. Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to talk to that.
Co-chair, your closing points.
Thank you very much, my co-chair. Let me take this opportunity to thank the ministry, because even the sport and recreation has acting DG, ICASA, thank you so much. Now we have documents with the reading. I don't want to repeat what my co-chair is saying. As my contribution, I was saying that we are heading the way forward. What you are telling us, the briefing that you are going back to the ministry, is in order. And with us as committees, we know our role from there. Thank you very much, honorable members. I didn't see any other things, those other things that are minor. Thank you, Minister, to clarify. Sometimes when you are in committee meetings, as members and as our visitors, we need to address each other as leaders wherever we are coming, in order that we must not have those hiccups. The meeting adjourned. Thank you so much.
Thank you.